Lecture 11, Liberal Capitalism and the Industrial Revolution, The English Experience.
Welcome to our 11th lecture in this series on modern European history. For the past few lectures, we've been examining the implications both of the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars in Europe. The attempt at restoration after 1815, the attempt to restore European stability after these enormous traumas of revolution and war. In this lecture and in the subsequent lecture, we are going to be dealing with another revolution, one with equally profound implications for European, Western, indeed global development, and that is the Industrial Revolution. Unlike the events that we've been talking about, which can be dated neatly, the outbreak of the French Revolution in 1789, the end of the Napoleonic era in 1815, and so on, the Industrial Revolution is more difficult to pinpoint chronologically, but it certainly would be of profound importance both in its immediate economic implications as well as in its social and political ramifications. In this lecture, I want to talk generally about the basic components of the Industrial Revolution in Europe, and then to turn our attention to the question of why the Industrial Revolution comes when it does and where it does. Why is Britain the first industrial nation? How was it able to assume the leadership in this economic process that would change the shape of Europe and the world? We've said several times in passing, as we've talked about cultural developments and some economic ones as well, that it's difficult to talk about specific dates, that there are trends, developments that are stretched out over the course of time. Certainly, if one thinks of a revolution as a short burst of violent revolutionary activity, which results in a very quick change, then one can't really talk about an industrial revolution. This is something that's stretched out over decades, and yet its implications are indeed revolutionary. We can say with some certainty that the Industrial Revolution begins in Britain at around the middle of the 18th century. By the end of the century, at a time when France had assumed the leadership of Europe politically, Britain would be in the throes of a profound economic transformation, well on its way to becoming the first industrial nation. By 1851, Britain would have emerged from the pack, as it were, as a major European power, indeed a major world power, in a way that it really had not been before. We want to talk then about the ways that one can approach the Industrial Revolution, what are its components, phasing, and so on. During the 18th century, a series of inventions transformed the manufacture of cotton and created a fundamentally new mode of production. The emergence of the factory system, as it came to be known, would be based on three principles: the substitution of machines for human skill and effort. Second, the substitution of inanimate for animate sources of power, especially the introduction of machines for converting heat into work, opening to man a new and almost limitless supply of energy. Man would no longer be dependent upon wind, water, humans, or animals to provide the energy for production. And the use of new and far more abundant raw materials, in particular, the substitution of mineral for vegetable or animal substances. We're talking about coal. Coal is a source of heat. Coal is, of course, a source of energy. The burning of coal, the combustion of coal, becomes a major driving force in this industrial transformation. These improvements yielded an unprecedented increase in man's productivity and a substantial rise in per capita income over the course of this period from 1750 to 1850. In the past, increases in economic opportunity had always been followed by a rise in population, which eventually consumed the gains achieved. Economic possibilities would expand, the population expands, overcomes those opportunities, and once one moves back into this cycle.